Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
What's it like when somebody sits on you?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of great. It's great. I spend all day, hopefully, with someone sitting on me. And so everyone's rear ends, they feel different.
Any known medical history?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Okay. I mean, she has been sick, but I think just like a cold.
Okay. Has she been suicidal at all, or?
Not that I'm aware of.
The call you just heard came several hours too late.
Like, you know, a like Saturday afternoon, like a matinee, kind of like.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Action. Swashbuckling.
Right. With like well-known properties. Robin Hood, The Mummy, Zorro. Like those are all kind of classic Hollywood characters.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast. Start here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with the podcasts we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to start here. We've all heard the old adage, if these walls could talk, well, on today's first podcast sample, you might just learn what the walls have to say. In his podcast, Everything is Alive, host Ian Chillig conducts an unscripted interview with an inanimate object. In each episode, a different household thing joins the show to tell us its life story, and everything it says is true. You get the chance to meet Paul, he's a tooth, or Tara, a bar of soap, or even Lewis, who's a little can of cola. Everything is Alive is a mystical and informative journey into the minds of the mindless, filled with fun, excitement, and the occasional dose of the mundane. Now, Ian is no slouch. He's a producer on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and he's brought his expertise to one of the most imaginative podcasts out there. In fact, after listening, you'll never look at your things the same way again. Here's a sample from the final episode of the first season of Everything is Alive, featuring Sean. Sean is a subway seat. Sean joins the show to walk us through his life on the New York subway, talk about love, and finally find a chance to speak his mind to the people that he so graciously helps every day.
Why don't you just tell me about just a typical day in your life?
I'm up at, I never go to sleep. I don't go to sleep. Yeah, we run all night long.
Okay.
And so the typical day, I guess officially we'll start at 12 midnight and 1 second. But a day, really a full 24-hour cycle involves me going there and back, 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 there and back. And it's great. I mean, I see a lot of people coming and going. They look real busy. They look like they're stressed. They look like they got worries. Maybe they're happy. They're sad. Their life is up and down and up and down. I'm steady, baby.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me. What is it? What's it like when somebody sits on you?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of great. It's great. I spend all day, hopefully, with someone sitting on me. And so everyone's rear ends, they feel different. And you don't walk around feeling other human beings' rear ends all day long, which is, from what I can gather, would be bad if someone did that. Yeah. But for me, it's my job, and it's not inappropriate for me to do it. It's actually quite appropriate. So I can feel subtle differences in muscle tension, in weight distribution, and essentially that is my conduit into the emotional well-being of the person. The butt is my window to the soul.
It sounds so intimate in a way. Like you're communicating so much through, you know, physical touch. It's like almost romantic.
Oh, well, that's funny. That's very funny. But don't say that to don't say that to Jerry. He's the seat next to me. So I've been with him for quite some time. Yeah, he and I are joined at the hip. Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. That's funny.
So that's like it's a partnership.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry and I. Yeah. Yeah. We go back to when we were created together and built at the same time. And yeah, my first real relationship, we just sort of, there's a nonverbal way we communicate with each other that would be impossible to explain to you because I'd have to nonverbally communicate it.
You can try to communicate with me the way you do with Jerry.
You know, it's funny. It's something people say, but you and Jerry, you literally have a connection. You're actually connected.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, we are one, essentially. It's funny. We're like anglerfish. You know how, like, an anglerfish...
No.
The male of the anglerfish species will go up when it's mating with a female. It goes up and it sort of bites her on the stomach, on the belly area. And it's not like a little flirtatious little peck or something.
Okay.
It's like he attaches himself. He bites into her belly and just stays there. And then they sort of fuse together. They become like one fish. Their skin merges. Their like blood vessels get together and start circulating. They're together. They merge. And
they're one thing.
They're one thing. He just stays there. And his eyes and his fins and all the stuff around him that he would be using if he was by himself, it just stops working. It just sort of goes away. And then, you know, he's just kind of sitting there, this little like man bump on the side of her. And they're basically two fish that became one fish. They become one thing together.
Wow. It's romantic and gross.
Yeah. They essentially, their process of mating is to become one thing. That's kind of like Jerry and I. I mean, we're not making like little baby seats or anything like that, but we are one. I mean, I do not remember a second without him.
A sample clip from the podcast, Everything is Alive, from Radiotopia. Find out if your toaster has bad things to say about you with Everything is Alive, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. On March 26, 2018, a German tourist spotted a flipped 2003 GMC Yukon XL at the foot of a steep cliff off U.S. Highway 101 near Mendocino, California. In what appeared to be a horrific mystery, the vehicle had driven off the cliff and plummeted more than 100 feet to the rocks below. There were no signs of accidents, no skid marks, no other drivers involved. The car's passengers, many of whom were found either inside or near the vehicle, were pronounced dead at the scene. There were two women, two moms, Jen and Sarah Hart, who were white, and their adopted black children, Marcus, 19, and Abigail and Jeremiah, both 14. The other children's bodies have yet to be found. In Broken Hearts, the shocking new podcast from Glamour and How Stuff Works, they investigate what could possibly have led to the gruesome murder-suicide that shocked and baffled the nation. Here's a sample from the first episode of Broken Hearts, which details the events of the crash and begins the deep dive into the lives of the family that was affectionately known by friends as the Hart Tribe. In this clip, hosts Justine Harmon and Liz Egan start to unravel one of the most complex and compelling stories of abuse, neglect, privilege, and confusion in the digital age ever encountered.
Here's what we know happened in the days leading up to the crash. On March 24th at 3 a.m., Sarah's co-workers at Kohl's, where she worked as an assistant manager, received a text from Sarah saying she was too sick to open the store that morning. That same morning, the Harts' next-door neighbors, Bruce and Dana DeKalb, noticed that the Yukon was no longer in their driveway and that the bright red kayak that typically sat on top of it had been removed. Cinder blocks littered the driveway, suggesting that the family had crashed into a retaining wall in their rush to leave. On March 25th, at 8:05 a.m., A surveillance camera in a Fort Bragg Safeway captured Jen in eyeglasses and an ill-fitting gray hoodie, paying $20.08 in cash for groceries. She bought bananas, saltines, and Chef Boyardee ravioli, and used a club card for discounts. Friends said she looked 25 pounds heavier than they'd ever seen her. On March 26th, at 1:12 p.m., Sarah's co-worker, Cheryl Hart, no relation, called 911 asking for a welfare check on her friend.
Thanks for holding. Can I help you?
Yes, I was calling to see if I can get a welfare check done.
Okay. And who are we checking on?
Sarah Hart.
Tell me the reason that we're checking on her.
She sent out a text message at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning stating that she was sick, but nobody's been able to get a hold of her, talk to her, or seen her since that text message.
Okay.
Or her wife, which is Jen. So we're just concerned.
Okay. And did she say, when she said she was sick, did she say what was going on? Or
she just said that she just is unable to come out and wasn't able to go to work and thought she was going to have to go to the doctor. I checked the hospital, so they didn't have any record of her. And I think her phone is now dead.
Okay. And just the two of them live there? Or?
They have six children.
Okay. Any known medical history?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay.
I mean, she has been sick, but I think just like a cold.
Okay. Has she been suicidal at all? Or?
Not that I'm aware of.
The call you just heard came several hours too late. Early the morning of March 26th, rescue workers rappelled down the cliff, where they lifted the dead bodies of three children, later identified as Marcus, Abigail, and Jeremiah Hart, and spotted two more, Sarah in the back and Jen in the driver's seat. The coroner found an ingredient commonly used in allergy medicines like Benadryl in the bodies of Sarah and two of the kids. Jen's blood alcohol content was over the legal limit. No one had been wearing a seatbelt. The car's computer revealed that Jen had stopped on a pullout some 70 feet from the cliff moments before the freefall. She then gunned it off the ledge. 10 days later, the county sheriff issued a statement about the gruesome incident.
I'm to the point where I no longer am calling this an accident. I'm calling it a crime.
A sample from the podcast Broken Hearts from How Stuff Works and Glamour. Unlock the mystery behind the unbelievable and tragic story of the Hart family with Broken Hearts, now available for you on WVXU's Podcast Central. On to our local podcast feature this week. This one comes to you from a couple of Cincinnati movie buffs and self-described charming nerds, Drew Martin and Roy Kane. Their show, Coming Off the Reel, is an entertaining movie review podcast featuring all the latest Hollywood releases. Filled with disagreements, hilarious tangents, and real in-depth plot analysis, Coming Off the Reels is your one-stop shop for some great takes on all the newest films. Here's a sample from the recent episode of Coming Off the Reels, featuring the 2018 remake of Robin Hood. Haven't heard of it? Well, that's part of the problem. Following an underwhelming and poorly received release, the Off the Reels guys take a stab at what it was that made Robin Hood so darn bad.
Domestic haul for this movie is like $27 million, and it's at the end of its run.
Ooh, man.
Basically.
Yeah, that's bad.
And
that's
I think
bad.
Worldwide, it's maybe in the 70s, but you're not going to clear your budget, let alone whatever they spent on marketing. So hopefully this is the end of this story.
Yeah, which is kind of sad because we probably won't get another like version of Robin Hood for a while.
And maybe, well, that's the thing is, like, I don't know, because I think about the last two Robin Hoods that have been made, and it's like the Ridley Scott overly historical bland one, which is better, and this one, which I don't even know what this is. Again, like, the problem is that everybody feels like when they redo it, like, they have to give it their own twist. And I don't know that you do.
Like, not for Robin Hood, you know, like, there are definite stories where, like I was saying earlier, like, you want something, you're looking for certain things from it. You know, from Robin Hood, I want sweet archery moves. I want somebody who's standing up for the people, who just wants to give back and is helping, you know, others less than him. I want to take down the sheriff. I want sword fighting, which we didn't even get
in
this.
No, none.
You know, I want the costumes.
Right.
You know, him going in disguise.
Now,
that kind of thing.
And here's the thing. Like, When we got done, I knew we were going to record this episode, and I was really wanting to go kind of like whole hog on this episode. So I did like research, and I told you about some of it, and I watched other movies that I feel like are in the same vein of what I want from a Robin Hood movie. Now, one of them was obviously Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I also watched The Mask of Zorro, and I watched The Mummy, the Brendan Fraser one.
All good. All good picks.
Yeah.
All the same kind of feel.
Like, you know, a like Saturday afternoon, like a matinee kind of like.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Action, swashbuckling.
Right, with like well-known properties. Robin Hood, The Mummy, Zorro. Like, those are all kind of classic Hollywood characters.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun with all of them. And like, there were things about each of them that when I was watching, I was like, okay, you know, like, these are through lines between all of them that I can say, like, this is one of the things that make it great. The music in all three of those movies is really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
The action in all of them, like the sword fights in Mask of Zorro, I was like, oh, some of these are really great.
They really hold up. I watched it. I feel like I watched that one last year sometime and was like blown away by some of the choreography.
Correct.
Really good.
And,
like with that two-handed one when he's fighting like both bad guys at the same time.
Right.
What?
I felt like the performances, everybody knew kind of how a little bit how silly it was. Like, you look at Alan Rickman's performance in Prince of Thieves, and he was just going for it.
Yeah.
And
I don't
like,
even think he knew what he was doing.
Right. He just plays it like straight up cuckoo bananas, and it's great.
Yeah, just like maniacal, just he's got power, he wants more.
And watching The Mummy, which is, I think, of the three, the one that hasn't aged as well because of the computers.
Yeah.
And I get, like, in The Mummy, they were like, okay, look, there are some things we want to do that we cannot do with physical effects. At those points, we will use computers. And it does not age well. Like, a lot of the mummy effects look really bad. Really, really bad.
Yeah.
But as much as they could, there are real places. Like, there are real places. There are real, like, they build, like, some elaborate sets. And all of that stuff looks great.
Yeah, and all the, like, it's forgivable because Brendan Fraser is so good in it.
Right.
He's so charming. And right. Rachel Weisz is so good.
And Arnold Vosloo plays.
Oh, yeah.
He plays it all ridiculous.
He's great.
And none of that happens in Robin Hood. Like, I did not get the sense that anybody was having, like, fun with it. Like, Robin Hood needed more of that bravado, and he did not have it.
A sample of the local podcast, Coming Off the Reels, a local movie podcast. Stay up to date on this year's newest flicks with Coming Off the Reels, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go. Before we end today, let's take a look at the hottest podcasts in the country from the Apple Podcast Charts as compiled by iTunesCharts.net. Well, this week, it's simple. Bonafide hits. That's what dominates the charts. The top podcast, Dirty John, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, Dr. Phil's new podcast, Fill in the Blanks, and the scary atrocities podcast, Monstruo. All proven chart toppers from the Apple Podcast Charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up. Now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources. NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan,
Kevin Rhodes and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.